The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We got four playoff games with big quarterback matchups this weekend. Jared Goff taking on Aaron Rodgers. Lamar faces Josh Allen. Baker takes on Showtime. And finally, the living legends face off in the Big Easy. So who has the most to lose this weekend? Time now for Stephen's A-List.
That's right, Molly. That's right, Molly. You know what time it is. Stephen's A-List. I would tell Max to listen to this and stop right there. But I'm going to tell you to listen to this as well, Molly, because I know how critical you could be. You be throwing shades on my list little before you even hear them. No respect whatsoever.
Don't
but we're
going
to get right to it, right? Quarterbacks with the most to lose this weekend. Top five. Let's go to number five on the list. Give it to me. Patrick Mahomes. Why? I'm going to tell you why. This dude's got the best record in football. He got the number one seed. Okay. All the expectations of another Super Bowl championship is right there for him. He's thrown 38 touchdowns this year. They got a 14-2 record. They got a high-powered offense with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Sammy Watkins, and the crew. Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy calling plays. Listen, there's no excuse to be falling, particularly in the first divisional playoff game, because you had a bye last week. Patrick Mahomes lose, that's not the greatest look in the world. We know that's true, but there are others with more at stake. Let's get to number four on the list, please. Give it to me. Lamar Jackson. Why? Listen, this is the number one. That is Patrick Mahomes' number one passing attack. Lamar Jackson's the number one rushing attack. Second consecutive year, he rushes for over 1,000 yards, leads the Baltimore Ravens in rushing, but they got the worst passing attack. We all know that. But with Baltimore's defense playing the way that it plays, if the offense can give you anything, you never know how far this team could go. You got that playoff bug off your shoulders. You finally won a playoff game, but now you're going up against the Buffalo Bills, who are legit and real, but still beatable. You're Lamar Jackson. What you gonna do? It was last week a fluke? Was a one-hit wonder? Or is it an indication of what's to come? That's Lamar Jackson. That's why he's on that list. Let's go to number three, please. Give it to me. Aaron Rodgers. Why? Because he's a bad man. That's why. And if you have the season that he's had, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, doing what he does, having the Green Bay Packers as the number one seed in the NFC, your birth certificate is collecting a little bit more dust, my brother. You're age 37. You still got a lot of time left. You're that dude. You know how I feel about you, my brother. But you got to win this weekend. You got to win this weekend. You can't lose to Jared Goff with his messed up thumb and the Los Angeles Rams. Can't happen. You got to handle your business. Aaron Rodgers, you got Devontae Adams. We believe in him as well. Handle your business, my brother. Handle your business. The pressure's on because this is a legacy kind of thing going on right now. We know you're great, but this is about legacy now. Let's go to number two on the list. His legacy is straight, but he's still under pressure. Why is Tom Brady in that position? Because of Antonio Brown. Because of Chris Godwin. Because of Mike Evans, because of Rob Gronkowski, because of Ronald Jones II, because of Leonard Fournette, because of Bruce Arians. No risk it, no biscuit, along with Byron Leftwich. Everything that you needed, they probably got you a masseuse. They give you pedicures every day, manicures. There's no excuse, Tom Brady. You can't just go home like this, particularly after the Saints shellacked you not once, but twice this year, outscoring you, what was it, like 72-26? On the season, you got to make amends for that, Tom Brady. Handle your business. But nobody is under the pressure as number one on this list. It would be Drew Brees. Why? For one reason and one reason only. Drew Brees is about to walk away from the game of basketball and become the modern-day Tony Romo. He's going to be in the booth. That's what I'm talking about when I bring up Tony Romo. He's going to be in the booth working next year, all right? Calling football games instead of playing, in all likelihood, this could be it for Drew Brees. That's why he's number one on that list in terms of needing to get it done now. Because this is officially or unofficially, for the moment, really his last chance. That's my list.
Well, Stephen A., I respect having Drew Brees on top. If it was who has the most to gain list, Drew Brees would have has a tremendous amount to gain by winning. Like, if he were to go on and win a Super Bowl, just think about the way we think about John Elway. And he actually had none throughout his career, and then won one, and then got another one, and then suddenly he's on everyone's top five list for years and years and years. Drew Brees is an all-time great, but lower down on the list. He wins his second in his last season. He really has a lot to gain, but a lot to lose. He ain't favored to win the whole thing. He's favored to beat Tom Brady, but people like you are picking Tom Brady. No, the most to lose is either Mahomes or Rodgers. I'll take Mahomes. But it's the guys who are favored to win. The guys who are considered better than everyone else. Mahomes has been called, not just by me on this show, by many, a shocking number of people, the best they've ever laid eyes on. And if it's not him, it's Rodgers. And they're both crewed up, especially Mahomes. No, Mahomes jeopardizes his status by losing, particularly if he doesn't play well. Brees has the most to gain.
I completely, completely and utterly disagree with that argument.
Could I get in here, Stephen A? Because usually
yes, you can,
we have an NFL analyst, but sorry, I just need to. Listen,
yeah, to.
I love you. You know, you've got Stephen's A World, you've got Stephen Sports Center, you've got First Take, you're an actor, you've got all these things going for you. Stephen A, this list is terrible. Terrible. How are you going to say Brady and Brees? Brady's already the GOAT. Brees has cemented his legacy. Patrick Mahomes is the future. Stephen A, Lamar Jackson at four. Who is Lamar Jackson? I don't know if he's a playoff caliber quarterback. I don't know if he can win a Super Bowl. He needs to prove that. Aaron Rodgers, you call him the bad man, the greatest of all time. Can he please get a second ring? Those two have the most to prove. The list is sad. You tried. You did a great presentation. You just need to switch it around now.
Well, first of all, I appreciate that salient argument on your part. Congratulations, Molly. It was very, very well delivered. But first of all, I'm not talking legacy. I have Drew Brees as number one because this is it for him. He's probably walking away from the game of football, so this is his last chance to get a Super Bowl. I'm not alluding to legacy with most of these guys. Tom Brady has six rings. Mm. It wasn't about that. It's about all these changes that you brought to Tampa Bay. They did all of this for you. And so think about the storylines that are going to exist if these guys don't end up getting it done. Of course, Patrick Mahomes is up there because Kansas City is Kansas City. I mean, you only got, what do you got, eight teams playing left? I mean, what do you want me to say? Jared Goff's got something to lose. You want me to say that Josh Allen's got something to use? He's got his whole career ahead of him. You understand? And you look at how he's being coached by McDermott. When we're looking at Lamar Jackson, we're wondering about his ability to throw the football. When we look at Aaron Rodgers, because of his greatness that has existed for so many years, and then they go out and they draft his successor right in front of his face with no apologies to him whatsoever. And then he has an MVP caliber season. He's going to be the league MVP. And then you go out and you lose in the very first playoff game that you have this season? No, I think that's a bad thing. And then when you, again, you look at Tom Brady, it's because of all that happened to Tampa Bay. And with Drew Brees, I'm just saying, that's why my list is the way that it is. Drew Brees, this is it, Molly. In all likelihood, you're not going to see Drew Brees again. I'm not talking about his legacy.
I already know who Drew Brees is, though. I already know. I don't know who Lamar Jackson is, and I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is the greatest of all time, and that's what I need to find out this season.
But they're coming back. Drew Brees has more to lose because he wants a Super Bowl ring, and basically this is his last chance. This is it.
Well, Molly, you're talking about who has the most to prove, and while prove almost rhymes with lose, almost, it's not the same thing. Yes, Lamar Jackson has a lot to gain. If we wanted to say, well, that's a different question. If you want to say who has the most to gain this weekend, then I might agree with Stephen A. Drew Brees is up there, but I also agree with you. Lamar Jackson should be very high because Brees' legacy is cemented. He is where he is, but it's the lower echelon of the all-time greats of the top 10, right? He's not one, two, or three, or four even, something like that. He wins a second Super Bowl. That starts to change the way people think about him, especially if he plays well. Lamar Jackson, same thing for the reasons you laid out. It changes the way people think about him. That's what they have to gain. But let me tell you something. When the champ is fighting an underdog in a title defense and he's heavily favored, he's got the most to lose. That's Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I don't think you're right. Hold on.
Max is being slick there. Go ahead.
Max is being slick there. You know good and damn well, team sport is different than individual. Now, that's entirely different. As if we were talking boxing, you are right on the money. Patrick Mahomes, we saw Brady throw for 500 yards in the Super Bowl and lose. You understand? So it ain't just up to him. And so you can't go by that. And notice on my list, guys, notice how I have the two youngest dudes at the bottom of the list. Because we're talking about a window of opportunity available to these guys, combined with the sacrifices that Brady asked Tampa Bay to make to appease him and give him everything he wanted. So I'm looking at Breeze, age 42. Now I'm looking at this being his last chance. I'm looking at Brady with all the things that they did for him. I'm looking at Aaron Rodgers. They drafted your successor right in front of your face. Never gave you a first round pick at the wide receiver spot. You go out time and time and time again. And this right now, you have been on the record as saying it may be your best opportunity at a Super Bowl title in years. But your birth certificate has collected more dust. What you gonna do? That's why they're at the top of the list for now with this particular the playoff season.
All right. Max, you got any last thoughts or are you good?
I think we're all arguing different questions.
Yeah, got you. I understand that.
Well, whatever. I think it's fun. So people at home can tell us who's right. Tweet us.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. It's the number one scoring offense versus the number one scoring defense, and it is going to be a lot of fun. Rams, Packers. Max, you're up first here. What do you think is the most important matchup in this one?
It's Donald against the interior offensive line. To me, and there are lots of good matchups, but that's the most important one. They have a Pro Bowl caliber center in Green Bay, but because of Bakhtiari's injury, he's going to really have to help. The interior, the guard next to him is the weak link on that Packers offensive line. And so is it going to take one guy or do they have to devote two offensive linemen, basically, to stopping Aaron Donald? If he can suck up those extra resources, that makes the entire line better, which means they can get real pressure and can be very effective against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So to me, it comes down to Donald. Is he healthy? And if he is, I think it's pretty clear the Rams are going to have to send, you're going to have to use not just one lineman to stop him, and that will affect the entire game.
You could be right, but I got to tell you, I got my eyes on Jalen Ramsey versus Devontae Adams. And the reason why I say that, Max, is because if you're paying attention, you see that the confidence that Aaron Rodgers has in Davante Adams has elevated exponentially. This year, 115 receptions, 1,374 yards, 77.2% of the time he's targeted him, they've connected. He's got a lot of faith in this dude, and he's targeted him 149 times. And so when you look at it, that's considerably more than he's done with anybody else. I think next on the list is like 63 to Aaron Jones, or even Marquez Valdes-Scantling that's been targeted 63 times. I think when you look at it from that perspective, you know that him and his relationship, that chemistry he has with Davante Adams, he's going to try to exploit that. And if Jalen Ramsey, along with the rest of the Rams secondary, can find a way to neutralize that, that's going to go a long, long way. Of course, Aaron Donald and them going to be trying to get to Aaron Rodgers. But Aaron Rodgers is so brilliant, I think that no matter who the defensive linemen are coming at him, don't get me wrong, he pays attention. He don't want to get sacked all the time, but he knows how to get rid of the ball. He knows how to throw the ball away. He's patient. He knows what he's doing better than most. And I just think it's a situation right now they can work around that. What they can't work around is if receivers can't get open, particularly his favorite target. That's what I'm looking at.
Well, you definitely highlighted the sexiest matchup, no doubt. I mean, Jalen Ramsey has been – there are very few corners in the history of the NFL who can genuinely shut down a number one receiver. Ramsey's been so good this year, I almost feel sorry for the number one receiver on the other team, because in this day and age, when every rule favors them and it's almost impossible to do, he's been spectacular. That's absolutely the matchup to watch for entertainment purposes. But in terms of the actual goings on the field, what's actually strategically going to affect the game? If you're missing your best tackle, and now Aaron Donald is lined up against your weakest link on the offensive line, that is an enormous strategic advantage for the Rams, because they're going to have to help. And as soon as they do, if the center's helping out, there's another defender who's going to be a lot better than he'd otherwise be. And that entire thing means no pocket for Aaron Rodgers, pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and it means it's a ball game.
All right. Packers by 6.5. We'll leave it there, fellas.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. There he is, UFC legend Daniel Cormier, my guy. Daniel, how are you? Good to see you. Hope all is well. Happy New Year. Let's get to it, because it's a really exciting time for UFC fans right now. We got Saturday on ABC, Holloway Cater, and then Conor McGregor returning to the octagon in over a year, and that's where I want to start, Daniel. So, yeah, been over a year since he fought. He's going to take on Poirier. They haven't fought in 6 years. That's UFC 257. What do you expect to see from McGregor?
I mean, Conor seems to be as motivated as we've seen him for a long time. You know, when you fight a guy like Floyd Mayweather and you make that type of money and you become a rock star like Conor did, it's easy to get caught up in that lifestyle, and it seems as though he did for a while. But coming back to 155 fighting Dustin Poirier again, and with Khabib walking away and the championship seeming to be up for grabs, or the Nurmagomedov rematch on the table, Conor McGregor seems so focused on coming back and doing something special and making us drop our jaws to the floor like he did so many times on his first run to becoming UFC double champion.
Daniel, that's nice, but let me ask you this question. What do you think is the motivation for Conor McGregor coming back to fight? Because he made the money with the Floyd Mayweather fight. The whiskey, mm-hmm. I was talking to Dana White about this yesterday. He's making a boatload of money with that. So he's pretty set and he's good. What do you think is his primary motivation right now?
You know, Stephen A., that's a great question, because when we saw the fight and Conor was coming back, I immediately thought, what makes him want to fight now? Because for a while, he was away from the sport. Then he said he wanted to go three times last year. Money is not an object for this young man anymore. So it has to be competition. And you know that Conor McGregor, as a fighter, is as good as they come. Because Khabib Nurmagomedov, yes, he beat him and submitted him. But that was in the fourth round. And then Khabib beat Dustin Poirier in the third round. Then he beat Justin Gaethje in the second round. It's like the fights got more, he was more distant from the competition. And Conor had moments. So I believe that the competition is what's driving him now, because there is no other reason for him to be doing this. Like, when you're a man that has hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, you got to be motivated to fight competitively or you stay away.
As marvelous Marvin Hagler said, the great middleweight champion of the 1980s, best pound-for-pound fighter in the world in his day. Hard to get up and go running at 5 in the morning when you're sleeping in silk pajamas. But I have to take exception of what you said about Conor and Nurmagomedov. He didn't give Nurmagomedov any run whatsoever. That was a domination, Daniel. Like, what? Yes. If all this is to eventually try to get to that rematch, what does Conor have to show you, given especially the way their styles match up, to make you think he'd have a shot at beating Nurmagomedov in a rematch?
So here's the thing, Max. I'm not saying he beats Khabib Nurmagomedov. But what I'm saying is, of all the fights we've seen Khabib have, the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, there were moments in the third round when Khabib attempted a couple takedowns, couldn't get Conor back to the ground. Conor was able to land a few shots. You know that Conor McGregor, on two judges' scorecards, won the third round against Khabib Nurmagomedov. Granted, you know, it's apples to oranges, right? How tough is it really for Khabib? We're judging him on a different level, but Conor seemed to be the toughest guy at that moment. He would have to show me the ability to defend takedowns, even if it against Dustin Poirier, who's not a known wrestler. He would have to show that he's willing to go long again, because there have been times that when the fight goes long, Conor has seemed to struggle. But he seems to have everything in the right place right now to show a fantastic performance. If he goes out there and he wipes out Dustin Poirier as he did Cowboy Cerrone, then I don't know if we will have seen enough to think that he can push Khabib. But again, I think that for a long time, this has been the toughest fight that Nurmagomedov has had.
First of all, I don't think Khabib will ever fight him again, because I think he despises Conor McGregor so much. He thinks he's doing Conor McGregor a favor by fighting him, which is the number one reason why they wouldn't fight. Number two, where I differ from Max in that regard is that I looked at the fact that Conor hadn't really fought in a couple of years other than a Floyd Money Mayweather fight, and the fact that he had survived that long. Because look at Nurmagomedov against Gaethje. You could just tell from open and tap that Gaethje had no chance, because Nurmagomedov was just too strong, and he was coming for him. But I asked this question: when we look at Conor McGregor, talk to me about this. I'm not talking about Saturday's card. Saturday's card, it speaks for itself. But I would ask you this, Daniel: when you look at the sport itself, is there anyone out there with the potential to be another Conor McGregor? Because I think the UFC would love to have Conor McGregor, but in the same breath, from a box office standpoint, I don't see anybody that could pull off what he's pulled off in your fight game.
You know, Stephen A., there's never been anything like Conor. You know, he has reached a level where he's absolutely box office, right? He's not thought of as a mixed martial artist, whereas mixed martial artists are celebrities and they are stars. Conor McGregor is talked about in the same regard as LeBron James and Floyd Money Mayweather and Canelo Alvarez. The biggest fighters and athletes in the world is where Conor McGregor stands in terms of popularity. I don't know if there's anyone that's on the rise in that regard, but Israel Adesanya, the middleweight champion of the world, seems to be gaining traction with the mainstream fans and the people around the world.
He's big time.
Yeah, He's the real
deal. Yes, he is.
If John Jones could stay in the ring.
Yeah, no question. John Jones would be best ever. Daniel, got to ask you this, okay? I've been knowing you a minute now, and I know you're part of Who Dat Nation. I know you're a huge Saints fan.
Yes,
so you guys have swept the GOAT, Tom Brady, twice now this season. Daniel Cormier, are you nervous about this weekend?
Let me tell you something. Beating a team three times in 1 year, a good team, like the Buccaneers are, is very daunting. It's tough. Not many teams have done that before. There's been a few times where we've seen this same scenario played out going into the playoffs, and the team that lost the first two won. But I have faith. I have faith in the Who Dat Nation. I have faith in the greatest quarterback of all time, Drew Brees. I have faith in one of the best running backs the NFL has seen in a long time, Alvin Kamara. And Michael Thomas is back. The defense is on fire. New Orleans is ready to go and get another championship, and I cannot wait. I'll be up at 5 o'clock in the morning
DC.
For kickoff in Abu Dhabi, ready for the game.
So DC, let me get this straight.
Yeah, you will.
Let me get this straight. Former light heavyweight champion, former heavyweight champion, the champion personified that you are. And I've seen you talk a lot of smack before you stepped in the octagon and whipped somebody's you know what. Your argument on behalf of the Saints is I have faith. That's the best you can do.
I have faith. Hey,
I have faith.
Hey,
nervous.
Stephen A, I have faith.
You're nervous, aren't you?
Stephen A, I started. You asked me about the Saints. I started sweating. I started sweating when y'all asked me about the Saints. Listen. I have faith in the ability of my team. And listen, man, Sean Payton is a genius. And the game plan will be right for Sunday. And the Saints gets it done.
Okay. All right. He says I
have
faith,
Max.
Actually,
when my ears pricked up on all that, What I took away from that is, did you call Drew Brees the best quarterback ever?
Hey, let me tell you something. There may be a little bit of bias in that statement, but it is what I believe. It is what I believe that he is one of, I mean, he is the greatest quarterback of all time, and he's playing the second best quarterback of all time on Sunday
in
Tom Brady.
I understand, DC. Yeah. You have faith. You have faith.
Faith.
Way to go.
Greatest quarterback of all time in the state of New Orleans.
They ain't going to get it done. All right.
We get it done, Stephen A.
Daniel, appreciate you.
I love Breeze, though, so
I'm with you.
Right.
Faith over fear. Let's go. We'll see what it is. We'll have to check back
Let's
in with
go.
You 5 a.m. bright and early. We know you'll be watching. All right, we got other good stuff happening on Saturday on ABC. Holloway and Cater, the prelims starting at noon Eastern. Don't miss it.
Playing, play great.
The minute that he signed with the Bucs and came in the division, you felt like that was going to be a team that had playoff aspirations and beyond, just like us. So I guess it was inevitable.
You know, we've both been around for quite a while, so we both still enjoy playing and competing. It's going to be a very competitive game.
We're going to rip through these. I'm going to say this stat one more time because I like it. Drew Brees, 5-2 all time versus Tom Brady. The Saints favored by 3. Stephen A., will Brady pull off the upset?
I'm going to say yeah. It would be an upset because they should not win this game. Not based on what we've seen New Orleans do to them in the two meetings this year. But I just find it hard to believe that Tom Brady's going to lose 3 times to the same team in the same season. I find that very, very hard to believe. And I think that I'm going to go, and Max, I'm not stepping out on a limb here. Just, you know, Chris Godwin's got to be a third option. Third or fourth option. Antonio Brown got to be that option. Mike Evans got to be that option. It got to be option number one, option number two. That's what it's got to be, okay? Because like you said, Antonio Brown, listen, we know he could be a head case. Hasn't been a head case since he arrived in Tampa. And we see why, because you see how Tom Brady just made sure he targeted Antonio Brown to make sure he got his $250,000 bonus a few weeks ago. This is kind of stuff that Tom Brady be thinking about. This is why players love him so much. He made sure the brother got some extra dough. But in the end, here's the bottom line. Antonio Brown's all world. And if you've built that chemistry and you've got that connection with them, listen,
You target him. You target Mike Evans. You run the football when you can. Utilize Leonard Fournette a little bit more out of the backfield as well. I think that would be a good thing. I just think that in this particular game, with all these weapons that Tampa has accumulated, even though it's the Saints' defense is no joke, I just think the manner in which they have handled Tampa in such lopsided fashion, I think every I is dotted, every T is crossed. If Tampa Bay got any kind of heart whatsoever, they show up, they fight, the game is close, and Tom Brady finds a way to be Tom Brady again. I think they pull an upset. It would be an upset. But I think Tampa, I ain't jumping off the bandwagon. I picked Tampa at the beginning of the season, and I'm going to roll with them now. Oh, let me get, I give you a score? Can I give you a score? Can I give you a score?
Yeah,
37-33.
A lot of points.
Yes.
First, I want to address something Daniel Cormier said, because I think there's a big misconception out there that if you beat a team twice in the same season, it's harder to beat them the third time in the playoffs. In fact, the team that wins the two regular season meetings is twice as likely as the team who lost those meetings to win if they meet a third time. Twice as likely. They win two to every game they lose. So, in fact, it's easy to beat a team for the third time compared to being the team that's been beaten twice, upsetting the team that beat you twice. That's hard. So the Saints have, just statistically, if you want to look at history, the Saints are supposed to win. And let me say this, to address your point about Antonio Brown, that's a good point. Antonio Brown, if he's back to being AB, is by far their best receiver. And how good is the receiving core? If you took AB off, they'd have one of the best receiving cores in the NFL. Their two top guys are ridiculously good. And AB's way better than them if he's at his best. And that's no knock on Mike Evans or Godwin or anyone. They're totally excellent. But AB is one of the best five receivers who ever lived if he's really AB. And maybe he's heading in that direction. And that does change the equation. But until I see that happen, I'm taking the Saints. They can get, what do you say, you get pressure on Tom Brady. It makes it hard for him, especially at his age and his lack of mobility and all that stuff. No quarterback likes pressure, but especially not Brady, and especially not at his age. And the Saints can get up. They can get pressure without bringing extra guys with their front four. And that gives them an enormous advantage here. They beat them twice. I also think Breeze has more to play for than Brady here. I also think the diminished Breeze we've seen in the playoffs recently, we're going to see a rested Breeze because he had to recover from injury. He wasn't taking all those shots on the field. I like the Saints.
All right. I got it. I'm keeping notes here. Stephen A's going with Brady. Max going with Breeze. No surprise on this one. Let's keep it rolling, guys. Kansas City is favored by double digits Sunday against Baker Mayfield and the Browns, who have been on the rise. Patrick Mahomes and the KC boys coming off a week of rest from the bye. Max, tell me this. Do you think the Browns are more likely to get blown out or to keep this one close?
It's good. They're going to keep it close because even if the Chiefs can score in 60 seconds and it takes the Browns 6 minutes, if they're both scoring touchdowns, it's the same thing. Still a tie game. You know, that's the idea of ball control, of dominating the clock, right? And you want to try and do that against the Chiefs. Baker Mayfield also shows if it's a shootout, he could put up score. Like they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. They scored 24 points last game of the regular season. Then they faced them in an immediate rematch in the playoffs. And don't forget, the Steelers have a big psychological whammy over the Browns, right? In the playoffs, they put up 48. They doubled the total. When Baker had to throw touchdowns, he did it. When they had to, and they have a running game, we know that. They have a dominant offensive line. Two guys who can really run the ball in Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They are a really good team. And if you look at the Chiefs in between blowouts with the Chargers and the Jets, Jets were first day of November. Chargers were the last day of the regular season. Those are two teams so bad they fired their head coaches. In between, the Chiefs haven't beaten a single team by a touchdown. Always less than a touchdown. So do I think they're going to beat a very good Browns team who can control the clock by more than, you know, in a blowout? No, it won't be a blowout.
I respect the hell out of the Browns. I think Kevin Stefanski is a candidate for Coach of the Year. Can't say enough about what Baker Mayfield has turned into over the last several weeks. He deserves our respect. Jarvis Landry,
I hold him primarily responsible for changing the culture in a good way in Cleveland. And you can't find a bigger fan of Nick Chubb than me. This brother's real. He's the real deal. But I think that this weekend, the Browns come crashing down to earth. I think that the Browns lose this game, and even though there's a shot, I don't believe it'll be close. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs will end up winning by at least 14 points. I think that they're going to pull away in the second half. I think Patrick Mahomes, I think Tyreek Hill, I think Travis Kelce and the crew are going to be entirely too much. The only shot, in my opinion, that the Browns have of even keeping this game close is if Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt go run roughshod and their ground game gains like 175 to over 200 yards rushing. That's the only shot. Other than that, I think Kansas City runs away with this game in very, very convincing fashion, reminding the Cleveland Browns, you're good, but there are levels to this, and you just ain't there yet. That's what I see this week.
Look, none of the following teams I'm going to mention are the Chiefs, because no team is the Chiefs, so I get that. But if you look at the last three quality teams that they've played, and I know Pittsburgh had an injury on the defense that made a difference. I just said they put up 24 points in a win against Pittsburgh last game of the regular season, 48 points in a playoff win. And the two teams prior to the Pittsburgh game that you said those are good teams that they beat were a motivated Baltimore Ravens team, another, you know, big brother team in the division, and it took heroics by Lamar Jackson to squeak by the Browns in that game. And before that, the Browns beat the Titans. Like, you got to see how the Browns play quality teams. They are either beating them or losing close. I don't see a blowout here.
All right. Next one, guys. We got last year's MVP taking on this season's MVP hopeful. When Lamar and the Ravens head to Buffalo, they're taking on Josh Allen and the Bills. Vegas has Buffalo by 2.5. Stephen A., what do you think? Does Lamar get a second playoff win and pull off the upset in Buffalo?
I don't think so. I think it's primarily because of inclement weather and the conditions under which he'll be playing combined with his limited passing, his passing prowess. I think it's going to come back to haunt the Baltimore Ravens. I believe in Baltimore's defense. Their defense is the real deal against the run, against the pass. They are legit, no question about it. But I think when we look at what we've seen from Buffalo, they're exceptionally well coached by McDermott and his staff. Josh Allen has grown by leaps and bounds. Stephon Diggs has put the world on notice. A new stud has arrived at that wideout spot. And guess what? Even a guy, a former Dallas Cowboy, like Cole Beasley, has been productive for them all season long. And you never know when Devin Singletary can have a good game running the football. I just think that the Bills are a balanced team, and they find a way to keep themselves in it and make things interesting. And I think when you look at Lamar Jackson, as much as I love his running game and his wheels, because they got the number one rushing attack in football, because for the second consecutive year, their quarterback has run for over 1,000 yards. The problem is they have the worst passing attack in football. I don't believe in them when it comes to passing the football. I'm certainly not going to believe in them when it comes to passing the football against Buffalo. And I think as a result, it's a nail biter. But the Buffalo Bills end up squeaking out this game. It'll be a tight one. But I think it's a similar, almost identical score to Indianapolis, 27 or 28 to 24.
Your logic is sound, but I'll say this. I think Lamar Jackson pulls off the upset for this reason. I never thought he had a hard time beating good teams. He beat plenty of good teams. He had a hard time winning the games he had to win when the lights were brightest. He had a choking problem. Let's be honest. He's a young player. He's getting used to the bright lights. And some players go through this. Clayton Kershaw went through it for years. He finally won the World Series. Congratulations, Clayton Kershaw. He pitched well. James Harden has gone through it for years. I see him getting better and better under pressure, but he has usually not been the same guy under pressure. Paul George is going through it now. It happens. And I thought Lamar Jackson might be one of those guys. First half of his first playoff game, disaster. Second half, much better. Still not good enough. Second playoff game the following year, much better. Still not quite good enough. It wasn't his fault, but he wasn't his normal great self. But then what happened this year against the same Titans, rematch from last season's playoff game? They lost to the Titans in overtime earlier in the season. Lamar Jackson playing like Lamar Jackson, breaking off huge plays with his legs. and making key passes when he needed to, got it done. He won. He can win doing that. The issue is, can he do it when it matters? Is the moment too big for him? He had to get his feet wet. He's gotten used to those lights, I believe. And he didn't choke in his last playoff game. I think he can get it done. Stephen A., he needs some help. As I said earlier, you know, Hollywood Brown, he can't be West Covina Brown. He's got to be Hollywood Brown. But if some playmaker shows up, Lamar Jackson gets this win.
There's a lot of ifs. We know two playmakers are likely going to show up for the Buffalo Bills, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. And one of them is the quarterback and another is Stephon Diggs. So we'll see what happens. If anybody can neutralize them, it'll be Baltimore. I get all of that. But Baltimore has found a way to make sure to remind everybody they're more of a complete team than we think. And I think it's going to take a complete team to beat them. I think under more ideal conditions,
Baltimore wins.
Buffalo, I apologize. I think under more ideal conditions, Baltimore could win this game, but I think with the inclement weather in Buffalo, I think that's who I have to go with for now.
Last I saw, by the way, Stephen A., 24% chance of snow. So maybe there's snow, but maybe there's not.
Yeah,
better true. Chance not than, yeah. than there is snow, apparently.
Meteorologists right are wrong all the time. I give you all that.
Yeah.
One more, fellas. Let me get to it. It's your man crush kicking off divisional weekend. That bad man, Aaron Rodgers, going up against that Rams D line that includes Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, who have combined for more pressures on the pass rush than any duo in the National Football League. Green Bay favored by 6.5. Max, did the Packers win by double digits?
No, I don't think so. I think this is a very tough game. As I've been saying, Dan Orlovsky earlier in the week was on Get Up, jumping up and down about how the Rams defense is built as kind of the kryptonite for Aaron Rodgers' Superman offense. I understand that, especially, guys, when you look at the Packers' offensive line. The Packers, forget about injuries on the defensive, like defensive tackle, very good defensive. On the offensive line, you're missing your best tackle. You're going up against maybe the best defensive tackle ever, who, if he's healthy and even if he's not, even if he's just most of himself, Aaron Donald requires not just lining him up against your weakest guard, which is who he's lined up against now, but requires help from maybe your Pro Bowl center, right? That means the line is weak in other areas and the Rams defense can exploit it. Stephen A., when you brought up Jalen Ramsey earlier, when you bring up, you know, when you also have probably the best shutdown corner in the league playing lights out football right now, it adds up to a very tough game for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, it does add up to a very tough game for Aaron Rodgers because that defense is the real deal. But when you have, when you're questioning whether or not you even have a quarterback, it's really going to come down to this kid Akers and what he can end up doing in the running game like he did last week against Seattle. I mean, when I look at him running the football, are you going to do that to the Green Bay Packers? Because to me, that's what it's going to take. In the case of Jared Goff, let's face reality, he had a couple of decent throws, but he looked absolutely awful. But it's not to knock him. He had a broken thumb. He had had surgery 13 days earlier. He had a couple of pins, if not more, in that thumb. It was a miracle that he was out there throwing a football, but he had no choice once the guy who replaced him ended up getting injured and had to be hospitalized. In the end, what it comes down to is now you're going to Lambeau Field. If you're accustomed to playing in Southern California, now you're going to Lambeau Field with the broken thumb in that freezing cold against this Green Bay Packers team. I don't give the Rams much of a chance. I think their defense will hold to some degree because they are elite. But you can't give Aaron Rodgers but so many bites at the apple and think he's not going to hurt you bad. Eventually, that's what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a tight game for about three quarters, 2.5 to 3 quarters. But then I think Green Bay pulls away and L.A. is nothing, has nothing to do about it. Green Bay wins this game. Whether it's double digits or not, probably not. Probably more like 9 points, something like that. You know what I mean? 29, 20, 30 to 21, that kind of thing. But they're winning this game.
Well, we're on the same page about the Packers winning. I'd like them to win, but I could see the Rams pulling off an upset, even with Goff and his bad thumb.
No,
I'll say this. Remember,
the
one really bad game that Aaron Rodgers had this year was against the Bucs. And it was on the road. And Devontae Adams, if I recall, had just gotten back. And Rodgers wanted to kind of force the ball to him, wanted to get him involved, and got picked a couple times, which is unbelievable. You ever remember Rodgers getting picked twice in a game? It's like unheard of, right? Well, Who's going to be on Devontae Adams, Stephen A?
Jalen Ramsey.
You got a guy where you really, like that matchup, you highlighted it earlier in the show. I don't know if it's the most critical, but it could be. And it's certainly the most interesting. You have the best shutdown guy right now in the league against Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. Does that mean Rodgers turns the ball over in a crucial moment? It's not impossible. It's a dangerous game.
All right. Guys, can't wait for it. It's going to be a lot of fun, these four games, and we'll break it all down on Monday. But I've got some breaking news in the NBA that I want to get your take on before we say goodbye here on a Friday. Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving has been fined $50,000 for violating the league's health and safety protocols. The violation occurred when he attended a private indoor party last weekend. Irving will forfeit salary for any games he misses due to his five-day quarantine period, which will allow him to return to team activities tomorrow if he continues to test negative. He is expected to play against the Magic. So, guys, we should potentially see the big three there in Brooklyn for the first time tomorrow. What do you expect, Stephen A?
I don't know what to expect, to be honest with you. I mean, first of all, it's not what we see now this weekend. It's what we're going to see in the weeks to come. James Harden has been out of shape, so he's got to get himself in shape. And Kyrie Irving has been out for whatever reason, and now he's expected to come back. So James Harden's got to get his body together. Kyrie Irving has to get his mind together. Once that happens, then you see the three big three on the court, and then you judge them as the big three. Right now, they're just individuals that are playing together. They're not necessarily a team. The only person that's been a consistent model of a teammate has been Kevin Durant at this particular moment in time. I believe in Harden personally. I know he's been taking a lot of hits and what have you, but he was just trying to get himself out of there, and we understand all of that. He doesn't engage in load management. He gives it to you. In the case of Kyrie Irving, those five games, Kyrie Irving in the 72-game season this year, guys, is getting paid $464,000 per game. So him being out or being penalized for these five games without pay is going to cost him in excess of $2.3 million. I hope it was worth it for him.
First, let me say, I hope Kyrie's personal life is in order. I hope he's okay. His loved ones are okay. If he's taking personal time and it's costing him millions of dollars, I hope he's okay.
I hope he's
and
okay.
Genuinely, that's number one. Number two, guys, if these guys can get their egos on the same page, KD, James Harden, and Kyrie can all score at every level, at an elite level, at every level, long range. Harden doesn't shoot the mid-range, but certainly they can score mid-range and in the paint. And then you add Joe Harris, who's a better shooter than any of those guys. That starting five is impossible. And I'm just looking forward to I just want to see it. I hope they can get on the same page because I want to see it.
Max, you know what I forgot about? You know what we both forgot to mention? Harden is going back to join Mike D'Antoni, who's Steve Nash's lead assistant. Totally forgot.
That's right.
Totally forgot. I didn't even think about that until last night. He's back with Mike D'Antoni.
Interesting.
Loved playing for Mike D'Antoni.
They're going to score some points, Stephen A.
They're going to score some
points.
Nobody's going to stop them from scoring. They're going to score some points.
No question.
They should be the number one offense in the NBA easily. Number one, number two easily.
Yeah, starting unit's got to be number
one. There. We'll see if the chemistry's there. Guys, we asked everybody at home, will Tom Brady pull off the upset? 58% of you said yes. We shall see. I can't wait for Monday's show. I took notes on all your picks, so don't worry. I will be bringing them back up.
I ain't got confidence in any of my
picks. Stephen, you have a fabulous weekend. Max, you as well. Goodbye, everyone.